Radio Sport.
Good evening, welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. For the next hour, we'll be taking a look, weather permitting of course, at the sporting action scheduled for the Isle of Man this weekend, coming up tonight. The Premier League leaders take on undefeated opposition in this weekend's Manx football fixtures. After a break from action 6 days ago, rugby action is due to return in earnest this Saturday. It's too close to call across the divisions going into the latest Manx mixed hockey ties. Manx WBC champion boxer Sam Rennie is back in the ring tomorrow, this time in Asia. And a major event on the Isle of Man's rallying calendar is returning for the first time in 3 years. That is all to come this evening. Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio on this dreary and blustery day across the Isle of Man. Storm Amy is making her presence felt and we're expecting that to be the case over the next 24 to 48 hours as well. We'll just give you a reminder actually of the weather warning that was issued the other day and is now in force across the island if you haven't seen that already. A reminder, an all-island yellow weather warning for gale to severe gale force winds is in place. It came into force at 2 p.m. this afternoon, runs all the way through to 6 p.m. tomorrow evening, the 4th of October. And forecasters say a deep area of low pressure will bring gale to severe gale force west or southwest winds to the island. Gusts of 50 to 60 miles per hour likely, and gusts of 65 miles per hour in exposed coastal areas and on higher ground are possible. This will bring a risk of travel disruption and will also likely result in some fallen trees and minor structural damage. An area of heavy rain will move in from the west during Friday, bringing the risk of localised surface water flooding. Well, we have been made aware throughout the day of a number of issues across the island's highways and other locations that is being caused by the poor weather conditions. You can find all the latest updates with regards to the weather conditions and disruption over on manxradio.com and on the Manx Radio Facebook page as well, where we have a ongoing thread of all the information as and when it is coming through. And if you are out and about, of course, across the island today and tomorrow for that matter, please do take care. Well, the weather is looking particularly ominous, but as it stands, we do have sporting action taking place on Saturday. We're going to start by taking a look at the hockey side of things, and joining us in the studio is our hockey correspondent, Ben Cunningham. Ben, very good evening, and looking out the window now, and, well, we've been looking out the window all day, really, have we? It's not looking great with regards to the weather at the moment, is it?
No, it's not looking great at the minute, but fingers crossed, Storm Amy might let us have some sport tomorrow. I think there could be a bit of a clean up job in the morning, but yeah, as you said before on the update there, decision will be getting made about 11 o'clock games around 9 o'clock that morning.
And then from that point as well, I imagine it might potentially have a knock-on effect to other games because, yes, those first games, hockey-wise, are starting from 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, due to start at 11 a.m, but there are games due to run throughout the afternoon as usual.
Yeah, absolutely. So potentially there could be a case of where we have to cancel the 11 o'clock games, but then the rest of the day can all go ahead. But if we need that time to get the pitches cleaned and, you know, safer play to happen, because that is going to be number one priority to make sure player safety is accounted for, then we will take that option.
Excellent. Well, fingers crossed that we do get some hockey action tomorrow, and indeed some sporting action in general across tomorrow as well. Let's take a look then at those fixtures. And as I mentioned when the programme started as well, it is pretty close, pretty tight across the divisions, very early stages of the season, of course. We'll start off by taking a look at this weekend's mixed Premier League fixtures. Now here at 12:35 is the earliest pushback at Castle Rushen High School, and that sees Backersby, who've picked up a couple of notable results and performances so far at the start of the season, up against Castletown Celts, who got that big win over Vikings A last weekend.
Yeah, big win for Castletown Celts last weekend over Vikings A. Another blow for Vikings A that was last weekend. Backersby though, one win so far this season against Celts, who currently sit second, two wins and a draw. I think it's going to be a Castletown Celts win on that one.
And then we mentioned Vikings A with another defeat for them last weekend. They're going to be pushing back at 2:05 in the afternoon at the National Sports Centre up against Harlequins A. Now, Ben, you tipped Vikings A to be challenging the defending champions Backers A toward the top of the table at the start of the season. A poor couple of results for them. Do you think Harlequins A might sense an opportunity here?
I think they will, because going into this weekend, Harlequins do sit above Vikings by a point. going into this weekend. So they'll definitely see this as an opportunity to get one over Vikings A. If Vikings A fail to win this weekend, this could be definitely the title race blown open, because Castletown Celts yet to play Backers A, and those two are only separated by 1 point at the top. So if both Backers A and Castletown Celts win this weekend, that fixture when they play each other could be a very, very interesting game.
And when we're talking about teams toward the top of the table, there's just 2 points separating the top three teams in the top flight at the moment. Backers A, the defending champions, leading the way. They've been emphatic so far with 3 wins from 3. Coming up against Valkyries A side at QE2 at 2:05 tomorrow, Ben, who, although a couple of points off the pace of Backers at the moment, are right in the mix amongst the top trio of teams at the moment.
Absolutely. But then, like we said, you look at Backers A, 3 wins from 3. 26 goals scored so far and only 3 conceded, one of which was, of course, last week against Harlequins. The other two was against the bottom of the table team, Castletown Southerners. So it's going to be a tough ask for Valkyries, but Valkyries will definitely go out there and give it a good go. But looking at the way Backers A are looking so far, it's going to be a tough day at the office.
Indeed, just put some numbers onto that as well. Backers A, 3 wins from 3, 6 points. As Ben said, 26 goals scored and just the 3 conceded, a goal difference of plus 23. A point further back from them, Castletown Celts, who we mentioned play Backers B. And then a point further back again, Valkyries A, 2 wins from 3 so far. So just 2 points between the top three at the moment. And elsewhere, the fourth and final game in the mixed Premier League, 2:05 at King William's College, is a meeting of the bottom two. Vikings B, with the 1 win from their opening 3 games, up against newly promoted Castletown Southerners, who are still looking to get their first point on the board.
Yeah, and this is going to be a massive game for both sides, because these two, like you say, sit bottom. Vikings Vikings B sitting in the higher position. Southerners currently sitting in that relegation position with no points. How they would love this weekend, I'm sure, to get their first win in the Premier League. They definitely stand a good chance here. It's going to be a very, very close game, I reckon, this one. I'd love to see Castletown Southerners do it, but I think Vikings B might just be too strong on the day. So I'm going to go for a Vikings B win on that one.
We talk about battles at the top, but this could be, in the long term, I suppose, a big result for either side in the battle at the bottom, whatever happens. Mixed Division 1 then. Early pushback at 11:05 at QE2 sees Valkyries B, who are sitting second at the moment after 3 games, just 1 point off the leaders. Backers C, who they entertain this weekend. It is first v second at QE2 tomorrow. This could be a big game in the Mixed Division 1 title race.
Absolutely. And of course, we covered Backers C last weekend against Harlequins B when they went and got that 3-1 win. They looked really good going forward, but of course, Valkyries B as well have been looking good going forward. Valkyries B, you've got 10 goals scored and 4 conceded. Backers C, 8 goals scored and 4 conceded. So going forward, both teams are good defensively. Which one can come out on top on the day?
I'll have to wait and see. Well, 2:05 at Ramsey Grammar School in Mixed Division 1 sees Valkyries C, 4th on the table, up against Vikings C, who sit bottom at the moment, 3 defeats from 3 so far.
Yeah, Vikings C just haven't seemed to have found their feet so far this season. They've been definitely giving it a good go, but they just haven't been able to get it across the line there to secure the victories. Valkyries C, a nice mid-table position so far this season. I think I'm going to go for a Valkyries C win on that one.
And the third and final game in Mixed Division 1 is a 3:35 pushback, also at Ramsey Grammar School. Ramsey A, currently second from bottom and still yet to get a win so far this season. Just the 1 point on the board with 1 draw, up against the Harlequins B side, sitting third at the moment with a win, a draw and a defeat at the moment.
Yeah, and I mean, Ramsey will be massively disappointed, because them 2 losses that they've had have only been by 1 goal. They've been absolutely in them games, and then they've just lost it right at the end. But they have got that 1 point. Harlequins, though, they sit, like you say, above them in that third spot with 3 points. I think Harlequins, though, might just pip this one. I think it'll be a close one, and it could come down to just one bit of magic, but I think it might go Harlequins B's way.
Before we move on, do my eyes deceive me looking out the window? There is actually a hint of blue sky out there. Hard to think of.
Hard
to think of earlier in the day. Of course, I'm not going to jinx anything or assume anything, but that's nice to see.
I think it's because Tony's just come into the studio.
Yes, he's brought the sunshine with him, and we'll be speaking to him in a little bit as well. We might keep the pressure on him to try and get the weather to improve tomorrow. We'll just have to wait and see. Okay, then, Mixed Division 2, 3 games tomorrow. 12:35 pushbacks. One of those at the National Sports Centre. Centre sees Vikings D, fourth in the table at the moment, up against Backers Mix Colts, who are second and just 1 point off the top at the moment, Ben.
Yeah, and I in my preview on Manx Radio, I did say that I think that this game and the next game we're going to talk about are going to be both very close. This division last weekend had 2-0 finishes in it, which is a very big rarity in Manx hockey. So it's going to be a close game between Vikings D and Backers Colts, because Vikings D full of very experienced players, Backers Colts full of a lot of youth and upcoming talent. So which one will prevail on the day? We'll wait and see.
Indeed we will, and yes, as you mentioned, with the games that are coming, another 12:35 pushback at Ramsey Grammar School is current tabletop as Castletown Camags with two wins from two at the moment, up against Ramsey Ravens, who are 2 points on the board but still yet to get their first win of the season. Would you favour Camags in this situation on paper, Ben?
Yeah, looking at the league table, you would favour Camags. Of course, Camags and Colts have got that game in hand. When they get that game rearranged, we're still yet to get a date decided on that one, but that will be getting rearranged soon. Unfortunately, that was one game that fell to the unfortunate situation where Peel's pitch waterlogged, so that'll be getting rearranged soon. Hopefully when that game gets rearranged, we'll have a good league table there, which will probably show us how close this league is going to be. But on paper, I think Camags are going to get this one.
And at 2:05 at Castle Russian High School, Castletown Cushags, who are bottom of the table by virtue of goal difference, 2 points on the board, but both of those draws at the moment. So they also still looking for their first win of the season. They're going to be involved in a Castletown derby up against Castletown Cosney, who are third in the table at the moment, Ben.
Yeah, and of course, Cosney were promoted up from Division 3 last year, winning that title. And they're already one step ahead of one of their current teams that were in this division last season. So it shows that Castletown have got a wide variety of players in each team and that. And on paper, you'd think Cosney would get it. But as we say with every Castletown team, we don't know which Castletown team it is. It could be A, B, C, D or Z. We wait and see.
Mixed Division 3 then, four games there, two of those games pushing back at the earlier time of 11:05, one of those at the NSC sees Vikings E, who have a win and two defeats in their first three games so far, up against Backers D, who've started strong, two wins from their opening three and only 2 points off the top.
Yeah, and of course Backers D's 100% record ended last weekend with defeat over Valkyries D. It was a very close game, Valkyries just getting it 4-2. Vikings E, though, of course, like you say, they had that defeat last weekend to Castletown Carrick, who will be made up with that win that they got. I think, though, Backers D will probably get this one.
The other early pushback, 11:05, this time at Castle Russian, is Backers Mixed Books, a newer addition to the mixed divisions as well, coming up against Castletown Carrick, who are second from bottom with one win from their opening three. Backers Mixed Books, Ben, two wins from their opening three as a newer team to this division. How impressive is that?
Absolutely, and I've seen Backers Mixed Books playing twice now, and they've got lots of up-and-coming talent in that team that are going to go on and be very good Manx hockey players, as do Castletown Carrick as well. They've got a lot of young and upcoming talent as well in that squad. It's going to be a very, very even match, I reckon, this one, and I'm going to sit on the fence on this one.
And then two other games of Mixed Division 3, both push back at 12:35. The first of those at QE2 in Peel sees Harlequins D, so one win from their opening three. They're sixth out of the eight teams in the table at the moment, up against Ramsey Rookies, who are rooted to the bottom at the moment, Ben, with three defeats from three.
Yeah, and I'm sure Ramsey Rookies would love to get their first win this weekend. Harlequins D, though, looking really good. Newly formed side, one win and two losses. It's a good start, solid start in this division. So I'm going to go for a Harlequins D win there.
And the final game, I've deliberately left this to last because this is the meeting of the top two sides in the division at this early point of the season. First versus second. Valkyries D, flawless record to the start of the season. Three wins from three, 17 goals scored, none conceded. They come up against second-placed Harlequins C, who've won two from three, Ben. How big could this be going forward?
Yeah, it's going to be a massive game. Can Harlequins C finally break Valkyries D's record of keeping a clean sheet going forward? I mean, again, you look at the stats, 17 goals scored there, and it's none conceded. It's a good record there. But of course, you look at Harlequins, 12 goals scored and 5 conceded. So both teams look strong going forward. But again, as we said in an earlier game, which defence is going to come out on top?
Indeed. And just very quickly as well, we do have three more games in the mixed under-15s league penciled in for Saturday.
Yep, and they're all 3:35 kickoffs, and it's Harlequins against Vikings at the NSC. I'm going to go for a Harlequins win there. Ramsey against Valkyries at QE2. I'm going to go for a Valkyries win there. And then Castletown Savers against Backers at Castle Russian High School. I'm going to go for a Backers win there.
So those are the scheduled fixtures, but again, we'll come back to that subject of the weather, that weather warning in place for Storm Amy until at least 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. So Ben, just a reminder for those who may have just tuned in the last few minutes and maybe missed it at the start of the show, could you just tell us the procedure for checking whether hockey games will or won't be on tomorrow?
Yeah, so basically tomorrow a decision will be getting made around 9 o'clock for the 11 o'clock pushbacks. This decision will be getting made through the MHA board. It will be circulated out on social media, the WhatsApp captain's chat, and we'll also make sure it gets out here on Manx Radio.
Ben Cunningham, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Going to turn our attention to football now, and with the weather closing in, we are still looking, as it stands at the very least, at a packed schedule of matches across the Isle of Man leagues on both Saturday and Sunday. He's braved the conditions, and we hinted before he might have brought some good weather with him. We hope that's the case. It's not looking too likely at the moment, but our football correspondent Tony Meppham joins us now. And Tony, actually, just before I get to the fixtures, obviously there was a big subject that caused a bit of debate this week, and it was with regards to match officials as well. So there was a little bit of doubt cast over how many match officials would be available, if at all, for senior men's matches this weekend. A meeting then took place on Wednesday night as well. Tony, for those who aren't aware of the developments that have happened, could you just give us a bit of a summary of what's gone on in that respect?
Yeah, basically, the Referee Society, or the Referees Committee, if you like to call it, had a few questions for the Isle of Man Football Association. And as you can understand at the moment, Rob, we're under severe pressure to get officials out on games. And it's like any committee. There's different ideas of where to go and what to do and everything. And I think, the Isle of Man Referee Society just got frustrated that there was nothing really coming positive from the Isle of Man FA. I think the warning was on the path a couple of weeks ago, because, it was just getting worse and worse. And in the end, they decided that, they weren't going on strike. It wasn't on strike. It was basically the referees didn't make themselves available. So, that's up to them. And, I understand where they were coming from. But I'm just glad that both parties, the Isle of Man Football Association and the Isle of Man Referee Society, sat down and had a chat. And we also had a connection with Mark Burkett, who's the leader of the referees in UK, in on the meeting as well. It was nearly 4 hours, Rob, so there's a lot of to and froing going on, but I'm glad to say that we got everything agreed. There seems to be a strong rumour circulating around that it was all about money, that the referees wanted more money. That's absolutely incorrect, because if anything, the clubs have been proactive in that department, not the FA, because when the rules come forward, clubs can put them forward, or the FA can put them forward, and nominations were coming in, or rule changes were coming in from the clubs to actually increase the referees' money. So it certainly wasn't that, and it's never ever been mentioned. I think the referees are quite happy with the way it's gone up over the last 3 or 4 years. So yeah, it's one of them. I think it's a learning curve for the Isle of Man FA, to be honest with you, because I have to say it was up to them to make things work. And it probably took us too long to come up with the decisions that were required. So it's all done. Both camps are happy. I'm delighted, absolutely delighted, that this new committee is formed, because if you've got a skill set like the Referees Society have, then the Isle of Man FA have to use it. And it's all right sort of having people who are enthusiastic to try and move things forward. You can't help but want to use the people who have been there, got the T-shirt, and sorted things out referees-wise for a long, long time. So that's great to see. There's some real gold medals in there, as I call it. People who've done it and have got so much to offer. It's absolutely great moving forward. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a hiccup, but sometimes, Rob, you've been involved in sport. You need things like this just to clear the airs, and that's what's happened, and it's been done.
Million-dollar question, Tony. Are all games covered this weekend?
All games aren't quite covered, but that has been sort of pretty well right the way through the season. That's not because of what's happened. That's purely because we are struggling for referees. And I keep hearing this magic number of we've got 53 referees, so no problem. We haven't got 53 active referees. We are working basically on a 25 to 30 number. And in that, you have injuries, you have sort of people who have got other commitments, and it is a real struggle. We're going to have another course coming up shortly. We need to bring some more referees in. And I am absolutely delighted that there's one or two people out there who are qualified referees who sort of not thrown the towel in, but hang the boots up to do other things, have come back in to help us. That's a major plus for us at the Isle of Man FA, and we just need to get some more bodies in there, more people qualified, and hopefully it'll push it on.
Yeah, Tony, thank you very much for that. Let's take a look at the fixtures then this weekend. Of course, we are all with the caveat of the weather permitting these fixtures to go ahead. We're praying for good conditions. We'll just have to wait and see. Canada Life Men's Premier League, six games, six fixtures in place this weekend. The first of these, Tony, looks to be an interesting one. Corinthians, top of the table on goal difference at the moment, up against the highly impressive Onken, who are undefeated this season. Four wins from five, and actually with a game in hand as well on Corinthians, who are only just a point above them.
Yeah, and it's been absolutely fantastic, Rob, to see Onken just keep chipping away and having great results, great performance, beating top sides with a little bit of comfort. And you can see why, because the young players are playing out of their skin. You know, the forward line is unbelievable. Tom Creer, obviously, has added to it, coming out of FC Isle of Man. And when you just look through the team, there's so many good young players coming through there. You could just see why it's going so well, and you can see James O'Kelly's absolutely delighted with the way things have gone. But against Corinthians found it a little bit tough, I thought, last week against Laxey, but still one or two players missing. I'm sure Onken were as well, but if those players are back in for Corinthians and home advantage, then I think it will be fine. But pitch should be okay. As long as we don't get too much tonight, we should be on tong for the game tomorrow.
Elsewhere over at Gary Moore, Union Mills, two wins from their opening four games. So they've actually played the fewest games of any side in the division at the moment with the way things have worked out so far. They're going to be at home against the aforementioned Laxey, who only trail Corinthians at the top by goal difference.
Yeah, and Laxey, I think that's a statement last week against Corinthians, because when I was speaking to Johnny Palmer, the manager, he just said they're the team to beat. Everyone thinks that they're going to possibly win the league, them or Peel. And Johnny's team did really well defensively last week. They were solid midfield. They worked hard and nearly had the chance for a couple of goals as well. So Ryan Kelly has lost one or two players, but certainly the other players are stepping up. And I would think that Union Mills will be trying to make it difficult against Laxey, but I have to go for Laxey to win.
Then elsewhere at Victoria Road, it's the meeting of the two sides that were promoted into the top flight this season. So Braddon, 10th in the table of the 13 teams at the moment, with one win from five, 4 points on the board in total. Up against Douglas High School Old Boys, it's at six defeats from six. But from Old Boys' perspective, Tony, will they maybe view this as an opportunity to get their first points on the board, given the fact they've run a couple of teams close and given a few scares along the way already?
They have, but they're conceding a lot of goals, Old Boys. Just, you know, when you look at Braddon as well, just a little bit more solid, but last week against Peel it just went terribly wrong. You know, Peel were up for it, and they couldn't sort of contain the forward line of Peel, and defensively they just fell apart, and the goalkeeper unfortunately didn't have a lot of protection. But that's not being sort of harsh on the defence. But you know, when you look at Old Boys and Braddon, these two teams, they've got, one of them's got to get maximum points to try and get it in there. When you look at sort of Old Boys minus 17, Braddon minus 9, it shows you where the problems are. It's going to be a tough game. It'll be hard going on that little pitch at Braddon. I'm going to be fair, I think, and say just go for a draw. After I watched Braddon last week, and when I watched them early on in the season against Corinthians, I thought they had more, but it wasn't there on Saturday. And Old Boys, unfortunately, had a heavy defeat as well. But I'm going to go for a draw.
So it could be a big game in the grand scheme of things for both of these sides. Well, Foxdale rooted to the bottom at the moment. It's been a really tough start to the season for Foxdale. Five defeats from their opening five. A rest week last week. They're coming back into the thick of it, and it's not going to get any easier for them, Tony, because they're due to host Peel.
No, it isn't, because, you know, Peel are flying, and, you know, Thomas Brown, people saying that, can he replicate what he did last year, winning the Player of the Year and the Golden Boot? Yes, he can, because phenomenal performance by him, and just right the way through as well. When you look at, you know, Bignall are in there playing really well. You've got other people, Matthew Woods. You just sort of saw a really good performance by the young players of Peel and them. You know, left, right, whatever. They had no Lee Gale. They had no Jason Chalmers. So it just sort of went so well for them. And, you know, Foxdale, I sort of fear for them a bit. And as well, pitch will be a little bit tough. I think the grass is a little bit long because, you know, a lot of clubs at the moment have got that problem because they can't get the machinery on. But after last week, great performance, going to go for Peel.
Two other fixtures in the Canada Life Men's Premier League this weekend up in the North of the Island, Ayr United. By their standards, it's been a tough start to the season for them. Just two wins from their opening six so far and 6 points off the pace at the top. They'll be hosting St Mary's, who, again, Tony, just the 3 points on the board for St Mary's.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, St Mary's, I watched them against Onken and, you know, Mark Wolfenden's not scoring the goals that he did last season. They need to sort that out. When you've got people like Frank Jones, Jack McVeigh, you've got Carl Clark in there, then wow, there's three really top players who could play probably for FC Alamann now if they needed to. But Ayr United, it's at home. Pitch will be a little bit sticky. I noticed Sean Kelly's back in the squad. That's a big, big plus for them. I'm going to go for St Mary's to win, though.
And the final game, the top flight, is down at Croydon Lowy, and that sees Rushen United fourth in the table at the moment. But what, just 1 point separating the top four of Corinthians, Laxey, Onken and Rushen United, first, second, third and fourth, respectively. Rushen United only trailing Onken on goal difference. So Rushen United, they'll be wanting to keep pace at the top, Tony. They're going to be coming up against St John's United, who have one win from their opening five games so far.
Yeah, they're not far away, I think, Rushen, you know, for competing at the top of the table here, because even though they've lost one and drawn one, they've had a couple of close games. But St John's, I think Will Brown will be asking a little bit more because the forward line that they've got, when you look at Callum Taggart, Dean Leese, you've got Liam Sale in there as well. Defensively, they look strong. Sam Ingham's in there. So there's, when you look at other people, Joe Savage, he's only smallest of players, but really tricky. Then I think St John's can have a go at Rushen. Speaking of one or two of the players today, they're quite confident they can take the points. I'm not so sure because Rushen are steady eddies, as I call them. I'm going to go for Rushen to take victory.
Well, assuming that we do get the game, it's just very quickly, got about 20 seconds here, yep, or so, but with, you know, just 1 point separating the top four at this stage as well, it's not just you looking at the, you know, the league title in the long term, but of course Railway Cup qualification.
You're right, Rob, because when you look at sort of Corinthians, Laxey and Rushen tomorrow, if they play, that's seven games, so they're getting close to it now.
Tony, thank you very much for the moment. We'll be looking at the rest of the football fixtures in just a few moments, and we'll also be taking a look at the return of Manx rugby action. Don't go away.
Manx Radio Sport.
Welcome back to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. We're continuing the theme of football this weekend, of course, everything weather permitting. We've already taken a look at this weekend's top flight fixtures in the Canada Life Men's Premier League on Saturday. Now to look elsewhere for what is due to take place tomorrow. Let's turn our attention to start with to Ardern and Drugan Limited Division 2. Four games in the second tier this weekend, and one of those is up in the north of the island, Tony. That sees Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, who maybe by their standards last season haven't had the best of starts of the season, up against Douglas Royal.
They haven't, Rob, but if you look at them, they're starting to creep up the table now. And Ramsey Youth Centre played 4-7, and just above them is Paul Rose, played 5-9. So I think Youthy fancy the chance against Douglas Royal, but it just depends what side you get from Douglas Royal, because yes, they gained two or three really good players and they've just left them, but they've still got people there that can score goals. Simon Dooley's one who chips in. I'm going to go for Ramsey Youth Centre to win.
And just looking at the table there, just with a bit of context there, Ramsey Centre and Old Boys are fourth in the table at the moment. Two wins from their opening four games, one draw and one defeat. So that is, they're on 7 points. So they're 7 points off the pace of Colby in second at the moment. So just a reminder as well, all matches on Saturday kicking off at 2:30 p.m. With just two exceptions. And one of those exceptions is in Ardern and Drugan Limited Division 2. Slightly earlier at 2 o'clock, Governors Athletics. So Governors Athletics still yet to get their first win on the board, just the one draw and 1 point to their name so far, three defeats, up against Douglas and District, winless at the start of the season still, Tony.
Yeah, it is, and this will be a test for the pitch up at St Ninian School. The pitch hasn't been marked, but don't panic. The plan is to mark it in the morning, and I think Governors Athletics certainly will be looking to see if they can sort of get some points out of this one. They've only got one. Douglas and District had a few problems because you know, players not being available, And I think, you know, it's going to be a close game, but I just think the strength that Governors have got and the physical strength, that they'll win the points, and D&D struggle again, unfortunately.
And down in the south of the island, the current Division 2 leaders, Castletown, who had a rest week last week, they're back in action this weekend, looking to extend their perfect record. They're 5 wins from their opening 5 games so far, with a goal difference of plus 27. They're up against second from bottom St George's, who have suffered 3 defeats in their opening 3.
Yeah, they have, and Carl Gartland's come in into the hot seat, and he knew it was always going to be tough because, you know, quite a few of the players that could have made them a lot stronger left them at the start of the season. So he's brought good young players in. They will get better. They're only sort of 16, 17 years of age. And, you know, Carl's a good coach, plenty of experience in the football world. But you wouldn't want to be playing Castletown at the moment because, you know, when you look at it, play 5, 15, and the amount of goals that they've been scoring as well. And you can see why, because, you know, the good young players, and fair play to them, have stayed with Castletown. And now that they're sort of getting around that 18, 19 years of age, they are gelling as a perfect team. And when you've got Alex Crawley there who can score goals as well, it's so, so difficult to beat. You only see one winner in this when you look at it. Castletown top, St George's next to the bottom. I have to go with Castletown take victory.
And the fourth game in Division 2 is also in the South of the Island. Maloo is currently sitting fifth in the table at the moment. They're going to be hosting a Colby side who are second at the moment, Tony. Just 1 point behind Castletown, but having played a game more at this point.
Well, when it's a Southern derby, it's always a close battle because everybody knows everyone. Maloo's team, when they've got their sort of strongest 11 available, they will give Colby a really good game. But I think what's turned the corner a little bit for Colby is one or two players coming back in. And, you know, Carl Hickey and Steve Collister, as we've seen with Steve already, he's back in scoring goals. And, you know, at the moment, you can't see much away from Castletown and Colby being the promoted sides because Paul Rose played a game sort of less than Colby. So if they got those 3 points, it would put them on 12. But it's tough. They're two strong teams and I've got to go for Colby to win.
Very well. Quickly, we'll just take a look through. We'll look through the combination leagues. Start off with Canada Life Combination 1. 6 games there this weekend, one of which is an early kickoff.
Yeah, I'm glad the first one out of this. Laxey against Union Mills. I don't know what's going on with Laxey. They won there last week. I think it was 6-5. But if you actually look, Rob, Corinthians third, they beat them. And Russian, who are second, I think, they drew with them. So they've got a strong team. Go with Laxey on that. Old Boys against Braddon. Braddon scored 10 goals last week. Go with Braddon. Peel against Foxdale. If Peel win their 2 games in hand, then they're right in the mix with Ramsey, Russian and Corinthians. So Peel to win. St Mary's against Ayr. I'll go with St Mary's to take victory. That's a 1:45 kickoff. And St John's, we've got a double repeat on that one. I think we've got Ayr down twice, Rob. We'll check on that fixture. But I think St John's.
I should say Russian
that.
United. Yeah, I think St John's United versus Russian United.
I think the reason why I'm going to go for St John's United, just maybe to nip it, is I think there's one or two players back in to make them stronger. But Russian, look at the league table, they're strong.
And just a reminder as well, actually, I did mention there were 6 games this week. There's actually 5 now because Onken versus Corinthians in Canada Life Combination 1 has actually been postponed due to a waterlogged pitch. 6 games penned in for Ardern and Drug Unlimited Combination 2.
Yeah, Moran against Jims. Moran relegated last season, so should be pretty strong. I'll go with Moran to beat Jims. Michael United against Maloo. I'll go with Maloo. Michael sort of languishing towards the bottom. Douglas Royal against Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys to win. D&D against Governors Athletic. I'm going to go for a draw. St George's against Castletown. I would expect Castletown to win that. And Douglas Athletic against Colby. Douglas Athletic, as I say, second in the league. And it's a shame, really, because I'm getting a bit of stick on that one because they've only got one team and the second in the league. But it is what it is. Go with Athletic to win it.
And very quickly, Tony, just a reminder of games that we do have penned in for Sunday as well, including 3 games in the Canada Life Women's League.
Yes, and Douglas Royal against Onken. Douglas Royal top of the table. Go with Douglas Royal. Corinthians against Russian. Russian going well. New into the league, playing really well. I've seen a couple of the videos. Well done to the girls, but Corinthians are very, very strong. And Union Mills against Maloo. I'm going to go for Maloo just to pip Union Mills.
And just a quick mention as well. For the Masters football, of course, there are 2 games pending at the Bowl on Sunday. Colby versus Peel, a 2:10 p.m. kickoff. And then following that straight after at 20-4, St Mary's versus Douglas and District. Tony Meppen, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport.
Turning our attention to rugby now, and fixtures resuming in earnest this weekend after a little bit of a break from proceedings with so many eyes on what turned out to be an incredible win for the women's team, the England women's team, the Red Roses, in the Women's World Cup last time out. But the focus now turns back to the local, the domestic leagues, if you want to call it, across the English Club Championships and elsewhere, with fixtures penned in across the island and off island as well. To go through everything as usual is our rugby correspondent, Dave Christian. Dave, very good evening. Well, first of all, we were due to have four games this weekend. We're now down a game because one has already been postponed.
Yeah, Ramsey due to travel to Clitheroe in North Lancashire. That game called off because Ramsey were travelling with Isle of Man Steam Packer and the sailings were all cancelled late yesterday, which is a good thing in terms of timing because it means we have plenty of time to let everybody know and make sure the players knew and all the rest of the stuff that goes with it. There's a coach firm the other side. Clitheroe were looking to do a sponsors day, so them guys had to sort out whatever arrangements they were making. So it's always disappointing for a late cancellation. However, you're not going to second guess the weather, and it's pretty bleak out there at the minute, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any better tomorrow. So, fair play, the game's off. We've had a proposal from the league secretary that Clitheroe game is going to be played on the 25th of October. Unfortunately, that only come through now while I was sitting here in the studio waiting to come on air. I can't commit to that until, obviously, we've had a look and see whether or not it will be possible for Ramsey to travel on the 25th. So we'll wait and see on that and pick it up as it comes along.
Indeed, we'll see when that fixture gets rescheduled. But yes, just a reminder, if you've just missed that as well, the County 3ADM Lancashire Cheshire game between Clitheroe and Ramsey has been postponed due to travel disruption affecting Ramsey this weekend, to be rescheduled in due course. Well, Douglas are due to be on the road this weekend in Regional 2 North West. It's been a positive start to the season for the Manx side. Two wins from their opening three games in Regional 2 North West. They're due to be on the road at Burnage, Dave.
Yeah, and again, this is subject to travel tomorrow. I just had a quick peek at their Loganair aircraft. It's currently in Birmingham. It should have flown 2:10 from Birmingham. It's now scheduled to arrive here in the Isle of Man somewhere around about 8 o'clock tonight. So everything predicated on that aircraft being here. Loganair have, though, been very good. They've put out a message to say that they've got crews and stuff dotted all around the place waiting to try and take up slack to manage aircraft out of position. Assuming it goes, Douglas looking good on paper, at least. The team news is out, and the thing that strikes me looking at it is that there aren't that many changes, and that means a good thing for any side travelling away. You need consistency in team selection. There's a couple of changes. Nathan Robson does come back in a scrum half. He's got over his niggle. It was his birthday this week as well, so nice little birthday trip there for Rabo tomorrow. And I think we've got Cal Denteth coming in on a wing. No place for Craig Martin, who did so well at scrum half last week. But aside from that, all the big hitters are back, and with that, there is a new name comes into the team sheet as well, Ethan Kermode. Ethan had previously been with Vagabonds, but he's also played at Lim across, so he knows his stuff. He's gone down the road or up the road, whichever way you want to call it, from Vagabonds to Douglas, and he gets a nudge on the bench, so hopefully he'll get some game time if the game goes ahead. Burnage is an all-weather surface, so there's no pitch conditions. We're purely down to travel, I think, for this one.
Okay, and just a reminder then of that Douglas team due to head to Burnage tomorrow. So you're starting 15 for Douglas, numbers 1 to 15 in order. Connor Garland, Josh Campbell, Owen Carvin, Harry Cartwright, Captain Blake Snell, Blake Everson, Ian Larson, Liam Kirkpatrick, Nathan Robson, Matty Wood, Cal Denteth, Josh Duncan, Harry Hewson, Ollie Corkish and Carl Martin. And three substitutes available for the coach, Phil Kringle. They are John Dutnell, Ethan Kermode and Shea Waterworth. Well, on the island, Vagabonds ladies, after a bit of a baptism of fire for the start of this season at home to Sale a couple of weeks ago, back in action. They are on home soil this weekend, Dave.
Yeah, ladies back, and it's only one game under the belt, plus it was tennis side against a Sale team who adapted quicker to the tennis side format. I did a little digging around as well just to make sure there was no jiggery-pokery going on, and none of the Sale players had any significant exposure to first team games, so it was a genuine Sale team. Hopefully the girls over there will be able to play 15 aside next time around. For Vaggers, it was a disappointing result. They did score four tries, though. They picked up a couple of points in the league standings, and they'll be looking forward to Didsbury. They've not got a great record against them, but home advantage counts for a lot, and assuming the Disbury flight comes in, it should be all good. No big surprises looking at the Vagabonds team. I think we've got one change in the back row. Charlotte Hurd's going to start on the open side. Other than that, the back line looks good. All the players in there you'd expect to see. And pretty strong bench as well. We've got Jules Harrison coming back onto the bench. Jules, a big player when she gets a ball. Great destructive runner. So it's great to see her name on the team sheet. She wasn't there for that Sale game. And maybe with her straight running in the centre, it might have made a bit of a difference for them. But fingers crossed for Vagabonds. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff up there at Bella Fletcher.
Yeah, so just one game played by all the sides in Women's NC2 North-South at the moment. Vagabonds, that 91-22 opening day defeat to Sale, and as Dave mentioned there, played as a ten-a-side game, in fact. So that Vagabonds ladies team to take on Didsbury Tock H at Bala Fletcher tomorrow is as follows. Corinna Daly, Maisie Murray, Sharon McCarrick, Becca Hicks, Georgie Quayle, Malin Campbell, Charlotte Hurd, Greba Tasia, Sammy McDonald, Lauren Ellison, Freya Crow, Leona McGovern, Becky Dunn, Rosina McNair and Holly Scott. And the substitutes available for Vagabonds ladies, they are Natalie Bush, Lois Mooney, Quinn Shipton, Steph Weir, Iona Lee and Jules Harrison. And finally, this weekend, we have a return of the Hartford Homes Manx Shield as well, and that's going to see Western Vikings taking on Southern Nomads, Dave.
Yeah, I just had a message from Western Vikings here while we were waiting to go on air. They're at the moment thinking they're going to go ahead with a 2:15 kickoff there at QE2. But it's subject to pitch inspection in the morning, so that'll depend, I guess, on what overnight rainfall we had. Obviously, the drainage there at Peel, it can be a little bit temperamental, I guess is the best way to describe it. Southern Nomads should start as favourites, though, depending on their team. And we were hoping to have Cheshire Bowl semi-final last week against Ramsey, and Nomads indicated that they'd like to postpone. Ramsey, of course, agreed. That game now being played on the 1st of November. But it was surprising that Nomads were struggling a little bit number-wise. Hopefully, they've got over whatever their issues were, and it might have just been a series of work commitments, and hopefully they're over that. If they can get a full-strength team out against Western Vikings, they should do it. They've got a great settled pair of halfbacks, George Collister and Mark Young, and the Crane brothers, Rob and Mikey, out in the back line. Exceptionally creative, strong runners with the ball in hand, and very deceptive as well. They're the mischief makers out there in the back line. So Nomads looking like they've got a strong team. There's a few grafters, though, in that Western Vikings side. Ed Knight and Harry Goodwin. Although I did hear a whisper that Harry Goodwin might be leaving the island for one of those annual sabbatical things. But the Collisters are in there. Harvey and Dewan, father and son combination, or son and father, respectively. And them boys are a little bit naughty around the breakdown as well. They'll be mischief-making in there and trying to slow the Nomads down. So should be a good game, and hopefully we'll be covering it for Saturday Live with a 2:15 kickoff.
Dave, thank you very much. Best get your best waterproof ready, I think, for tomorrow. Thank you.
Manx Radio Sport.
Turning to boxing now, and there's new territory to explore for Manx pro boxer Sam Rennie, who returns to the ring this weekend in Asia. The WBC Australasia Silver Super Featherweight Champion will face Pye Tine U in Thailand in a non-title contest tomorrow. So whilst his belt isn't on the line, Rennie says he'll be approaching this challenge with the same focus and discipline as any other. What's more, looking ahead, the island-born fighter says he's eyeing big opportunities elsewhere across the world in the long term.
Yeah, so my first international fight, well, technically they've all been international fights because I'm not from Australia, but Australia being my new adopted home, this was my first international fight, fighting a guy who's from Burma. Don't know too much about the opponent, to be honest. It was all up in the air for a bit, and then it all happened so suddenly, so I don't really know too much what's going on. I just took the fight. One of my best mates that I train with, Lewis Clark, he's boxed on the same promotion here in Thailand, so he told me good things about it. So, you know, I trusted the business side of things, not been to Thailand before, so go over there, make a bit of a holiday out of it, and then obviously hopefully come away with the win as well. I knew I wanted to stay active, obviously being so young. I'm the youngest pro boxer from the Isle of Man, so I'm trying to, you know, keep the flag riding high and just be as busy as I can. Got a long career ahead of me, and this type of experience is so valuable. It's good to get away, get out of your comfort zone, and then obviously I'm back out in November in Perth again, in my adopted home. So yeah, very busy end to the year if you consider my last fight as well, but that's exactly what I want. And then I can rest over Christmas.
There's no title on the line here, but how careful do you have to be with fights like this? That obviously, you want to keep yourself ticking over for when those big occasions come, but that you don't drop your standards and potentially get caught out.
Yeah, well, you just got to treat every fight like a title fight, regardless, especially as the champion. You still keep that status, if you know what I mean. They're still going to announce me as the champion when they announce my name for the ring walk and stuff. So you still have that same pressure, whether the belt's on the line or not. And no one likes to lose anyway. I've got new faces to impress, a new audience to hopefully gain.
Just to go off a phrase that you mentioned there, new faces to impress, is that part of the boxing journey as well? Obviously, you're out there to win fights, that's what you've been doing, but it's also part of that making sure that you're showcasing your name almost to not just Australia but to other parts of the world.
Yeah, well, exactly that. Yeah, like there's no ceiling, the sky's the limit. New faces, that means new skills to learn, and it's one of them. There's so much you can learn in the sport, and all these different, like right now, for example, it's a lot of Russian coaches with me, so they're teaching a new sort of culture off boxing. And yeah, like you say, hopefully your name starts getting around, and if it makes it to Thailand and Asia, and then it makes it to Russia, and then it can make it across the pond to America, because I'm eyeing up some big fights for the next 2 years. I want to get over the pond to America. I want to get to Japan next year as well. So if I can start getting a name for myself now outside of the UK and outside of Australia, then that's the plan.
Obviously, you're out there to try and win this weekend. That's a given. But looking forward, if you're successful this weekend, where would you like to see yourself in the next 12 months?
More titles and more money.
Manx Radio Sport.
That was Isle of Man professional boxer and WBC champion Sam Rennie ahead of his non-title contest in Thailand against Pieatine U tomorrow. Finally tonight, this weekend is due to see the return of a major event on the Isle of Man's rallying calendar for the first time in 3 years. The Chris Kelly Memorial Rally is making a comeback as a one-day event on Saturday, having not run since 2022. It's expected to feature 8 closed road stages across around 54 stage miles and a big contingent of both local and off-island crews. Mark Ellison is the chairman of the meeting's organisers, Manx Autosport, and he explains how it's been possible to bring this event back to life.
Quite simply, a lot of hard work. There's been many discussions about whether it should be brought back, would there be interest at all, and luckily enough there is great interest in it. And where we thought we might get 35 entries, maybe 40 including the locals, we're up to about 65.
What does it mean to yourselves at Manx Autosport to have an event like this back in the schedule for the year?
Well, of course we're very, very happy about it. It doesn't bring the income and the finances like that the National does, but if we start again and start at the grassroots, which is why it's a one-day event and not a two, then it could be coming back up again to a two-day event, and not as big as the National, of course, but the income generated for the island, it'd be very, very interesting.
You've mentioned a bit about entries there, what you previously expected and what you've actually got. The demand is actually higher than maybe what you expected. What do you think has been the main driver of that demand?
Good question. Personally, I've been away to Ulster, and I've been away to an event called Wexford. The demand for Irish crews in particular to come to the island is very, very high. Regularly, we get inquiries from, shall we say, our Irish colleagues across the other side. And I would expect that the boat that we've got on, and thank you Steam Packet for this, that leaves Belfast on the Wednesday before the National and goes on the Sunday, I would expect that with the spectators, with the marshals, the volunteers and the crews, it could easily fill that boat.
And in terms of those taking part, as we already know, there will be plenty of off-island crews taking part as well. But I understand as well that there is a good Manx contingent as well for this one.
Yeah, there's some very good Manx drivers out there. I'm expecting good things from Max Bradshaw. I'm expecting good from Steve Colley and a few others. And I'm sure there's going to be those out there who are going to show their mettle, especially in the conditions that we have.
For residents out and about on Saturday as well, people might be interested to know when and where certain road closures are taking place so they can plan accordingly. Where can people find that information?
Well, the information is on the Manx Autosport website, but just so that you're aware, the Brandywell Road, the Druidale Road and the Little London Road is closed from 8 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. There are plenty of road signs. We've got lots of bits and pieces up. Where we can, we're going to use the Matrix signs. We've got our own signs up at the Hairpin, all over the place actually. They're up there telling people that the Brandywell Road is shut and that the Druidale Road is shut. And even if you're coming in from Ingerbreck, there are two signs on the way in on East Baldwin and West Baldwin saying the Brandywell Road is closed.
That is the chairman of Manx Autosport, Mark Ellison, ahead of the returning Chris Kelly Memorial Rally taking place tomorrow as a one-day event. That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks for joining us and many thanks to our guests this week. And if you want to catch up with anything you may have heard or missed out on the show, it will be available as a podcast later this evening at manxradio.com. Please do bear in mind those weather conditions, that weather warning in place for gales and severe gales until 6 p.m. tomorrow. Please take care out there across the island. Have yourself a wonderful Friday evening and a wonderful weekend, whatever you're doing. But from us, until next time, bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.